Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We'll talk with Rangers outfielder Alejandro Osuna coming up here in about 20 minutes on your home of the Rangers. Pre-game 6:30 tonight with the Twins in town. Last chance to go check out your Rangers before the season ends last week. And they'll be in Cleveland coming up this weekend. Before too long, we'll have hockey and basketball to replace it. And you know, hopefully some playoffs come springtime. We're not getting playoffs in January, are we, Brian? It's Cowboys team. And yeah. Why is that? It's because of their draft failures. Ooh. You know, I think you can talk coaches, you can talk Dak, you can talk Jerry Jones. How much do the Cowboys need to evaluate how they are drafting? Is it time maybe for an overhaul? Wolchuk had the stat the other night of the post game. Out of the last 25 defensive players drafted, only 15 of them. Or only 10 of them are on the team. Brandon Laurie added to that since 2018, they've drafted 20 defensive players in the first four rounds, so more premium picks, and that fared about the same, you know, just a very low hit rate. You know, and I asked you yesterday, Brian, what changed? I was thinking about it last night as I was looking at Laurie's and just thinking about it.
How far back did you say they went on this one?
Laurie went to 18, Wolchuk went to 2020.
So 2020 would have been McCarthy's first year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so to me, beforehand, I think that Jason Garrett, I was very critical of Jason Garrett as a coach. I think Jason Garrett and that staff and the coaches play, and I'm not, listen, scouts, Will McClay, they have a hand in this too. General manager has a hand in this too. Stephen Jones has a hand in this too. Coaches and from outside the organization have a hand in this too. I think they really do. They lean really heavily on their coaches, and they lean heavily on the head coach. And I think the one thing that Jason Garrett was actually really good at was drafting players.
His dad, right, was a scout.
His dad was questionable at times, but, you know.
But you grow up around that.
But, you know, but Jason was better than his dad, you know. I mean, it's seriously. Jim, you know, the older he got, the harder it got for him to scout, and that's the way we all are. But I'm going to say this. They really miss a coach. They went all those years with Mike McCarthy, and Mike McCarthy really didn't have to evaluate in Green Bay. Really didn't. Teddy Thompson wasn't asking Mike McCarthy's opinion about players all the time.
Yeah.
And then now you get, you know, Shoddy. This will be Shoddy's first draft. But I think the Mike McCarthy regime and missing the Jason Garrett regime has resulted in this roster not being probably as deep as it needs to be.
Yeah, you know, and I think that could come back to Jerry Jones, like as the GM.
Oh, he needs to be blamed too.
You shouldn't have to have quality input from your coaching staff in order to execute a good draft.
It's always been that way since Jimmy Johnson graced the halls here.
Yeah, it always has been that way, but I think you're kind of at the mercy of the ability of your coach to find good players. And I would love to know, like, internally how they look at that. Like, was that run that we were on from 2010 to 2017 or whatever, was that due to Jason Garrett being our head coach and having this level of influence? And if that's the case, then I think we need to reimagine how things are going. If Jason Garrett was such a key part in us having our golden era, I don't know if that looks like bringing Jason Garrett back.
I'll say this. Jason Garrett hates me. And that's okay. But I will say one thing. The guy can evaluate players.
Yeah.
He can. I mean, he can evaluate. You know, It was, you know, he had some coaches on that staff that were good evaluators. It just depends. You know, we'll see with the Shoddy staff, because they've got some guys on the staff that weren't pro coaches. They were college coaches and stuff. And will their eye and their enthusiasm and all that help them? I think this team has fallen apart in a way of personnel because of Will McClay having to put up with Mike McCarthy's staff.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I agree with everything you're saying there. And we kind of got clarity on that in the post-draft presser, where Jerry acknowledged, like, that wasn't something Mike was really comfortable with for everything you just said in Green Bay. He wasn't asked to do it.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the first time, like, I'm being asked to do something that, as a coach, it's more like, you go ahead and get, it's the opposite of what Bill Parcells said. Give me the groceries, I'll coach him up. You know, that was kind of Mike's philosophy. Now, Shoddy, this draft class, it did sound like he gave a lot more credence to the scouts. And he trusted what the scouts did and their work in allowing them to go and give him the information, and then they went from there. But I do wonder, have they gotten in trouble when you're listening to Rod Marinelli about Tristan Hill?
Yeah.
When you're listening to whatever the coach is about Taco, and I know Will say, hey, that was him.
Yeah.
But when you're having so much input from position coaches and coordinators, and to an extent you want that, and I know Will has built the foundation of tremendous communication. So the scouts can go out there and they know exactly, okay, this is what Eberflus wants. This is what Al Harris is looking for in a corner. That is all important. But you also have so much turnover now in the NFL, and the Cowboys have done a decent job of, like, we don't want to fire coaches after 4 or 5 years until they've given them a solid amount of time. But the coaches aren't always going to be there. Like, players can outlast coaches. Maybe they do need to have a little reassessment of, like, maybe we shouldn't have as much coaching input here, and let's just let our scouts go to work and evaluate the talent, and then we'll have a better idea of, okay, do we need to now evaluate the scouting department?
Yeah. Yeah,
you still need to evaluate the scouting department, because there's been some, this thing has not been perfect. I'm not putting it all on. But if you're going to be very coach-driven, what's another team that has right now a lot of injuries, poor depth, and their team struggles for it? AFC and the AFC North.
Cincinnati.
It's a coach-driven team. Duke Tobin, small scouting staff, coach-driven. What are they doing? They struggle every year to have to, they struggle with certain positions. They don't evaluate offensive linemen very well. You know, they seem to have wide receivers down. But if you have if you're a coach-driven personnel staff, your chances of success are not very good, in my opinion. Unless you got a bunch of Andy Reid standing around.
Kind of at the mercy of the coach. Does the coach have a good scouting background? Like, Belichick was amazing, especially scouting the pros.
See, late in the campaign, though, Bill was trying to, like, do what Tom Landry did. And that's like, we're better than you at scouting. Mm. And all of a sudden, I'm going to take this guy from directional North Dakota.
Cole Strange or whatever.
And all of a sudden, now you're not doing as well.
I think I'd rather have a great scouting department that knew the traits they were looking for and had a great game plan from the front office, like, what are the modern trends, than sort of depend on a coach to break ties or have solid input, because he's got to be obsessed with a game plan and the plays that are making an impact. I just don't know if you have enough time to go and get a thorough understanding of scouting players. It's just a different skill set.
Ravens all. I mean,
and the Ravens have. Yeah,
the Ravens have had the same coach for like 15, 16 years.
Ozzie Newsome to Eric DaCosta.
Yeah, and they have an idea of the type of players they want. They've been real fortunate in the draft too, that players have fallen to them. But these teams, the teams that are all about the coach and the coach is kind of driving that. Just check it out.
Well, I kind of thought of it because how much criticism Will McClay is taking, and
deserves some of it.
I do want to, you know, say that Will McClay saved this organization from going down a horrible path about 12 or 13 years ago.
And that's why I've defended him. You don't have three straight 12-win seasons without what Will McClay's done, especially for a team that refuses to play in free agency.
Yeah,
it's all about the draft.
I think Will, for what you have to deal with to work for the Dallas Cowboys in the scouting department, he's done an admirable job because of dealing with the coaches, dealing with his own scouts, and dealing with the Joneses. That is not an easy job.
But looking at these last 4 or 5 years, I mean, now I think you got to include Nealon. You got to include Sam Williams. Like, Ezeraku's on the watch list of just, like, we can't find good defensive players consistently. You know, I think outside of the first round, it's like...
That's on Dan Quinn, though, too.
That's you know, Tank and Osa are your last two hits along your defensive line. Yeah. Other than Micah, who you thought you were taking as a linebacker, and he turned out to be an amazing edge rusher.
Yeah. Now you give Dan Quinn credit
for that. In your secondary, you have, like, Anthony Brown 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, Xavier Woods. Just hits that have been sprinkled. I think it's big enough. You know, maybe a couple of years ago, you're like, okay, we just kind of got cold, but we're coming off a major heater. Now we're sitting at a half decade. It's time to reevaluate everything.
Think about the defensive coaches, the defensive coordinators here that have had. We mentioned Rod Marinelli. You know, the one thing Dan Quinn would roll up his sleeves and go out there and scout, but he's had his share. We had our guy, you know, Boss Man Fat.
Quentin Bohanna, Kelvin Joseph. Yeah.
Sam Williams.
Nashawn Wright,
Williams. Our guy from San Jose State there,
Junior Fajoco. Yeah.
These are guys.
Eric Scott.
I guarantee you, Will McClay, and Will, if you're listening, call on in and prove me wrong. I guarantee he stood up in front of the whole room there in the draft room and fought for Mozzie Smith because of Dan Quinn. He stood there and fought for him because he knew that Dan wanted that guy. That was, I guarantee, Will had a great relationship with Dan Quinn. And these defensive coaches have obviously been the poor evaluators in the last several years.
They need some defensive scouts with more of a spine to tell the Jerrys of the world, hey, dude, this coach is going to take us down a bad path. We can't have this guy and that guy.
That's really up to your general manager, and you're right. It's up to your general manager. I just remember my own experience of Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame general manager for the Packers. Ron, when Andy Reid said something about a player, we moved the board around. Hmm. When Tom Lavott, the offensive line coach, said something about, or Gil Haskell, the running back coach, it was, okay, thank you. What's the next position we're going to? Hmm. That's how he handled the meeting.
To who's
because
that person?
Because he'd been out there scouting.
Yeah.
See,
who's that person for the Cowboys?
See, if Will had that power.
Right, exactly.
If Will had that power, he would be able to say, oh, okay, thank you very much, Rod. Appreciate that. Okay, what's our next position?
But his job is more about the process of finding consensus and letting everybody cook.
Yeah. He's a referee.
I'm going to try and gather all the communication for you. I'm going to lay it out, and then we'll have a discussion.
They brag about this pod system thing they have. When they have a disagreement, Stephen will say, well, we get a couple of coaches together, we get a couple of scouts together, and we talk it out. Okay. How about the general manager say, we're taking this guy and we're putting him on the board here?
Yeah.
That's where it needs to be.
Because I'm the smartest football son of a gun in this building.
Yeah, that's what you need.
It still always goes back to winning their way, right? Winning the way that they...
That's the only way they know.
But
At one time, they had a board of 400-something guys on that board. I walked in there and said, Green Bay, we had 100 and maybe 140 names on that board. They looked at me like, how do you draft with 140 names? I go, I guarantee you'll have 6-7 names left over on that board.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have 6 or 7 names. I mean, there are things that they have adjusted through the years, just haven't done enough of them. Will is asked to do an impossible job.
Okay, you hit the nail on the head, because this is also something that looks at just the team building aspect. So yes, they have drafted well in years. The last 5, they've drafted poor on defense. And now you've asked them to do the impossible assignment of, you've got to be perfect every single year to replenish the talent that we inevitably are going to lose.
They got
to
be better at it.
They don't do it, and it's impossible. There's no way that they can hit every single year in the draft. It's just not. It's not feasible. It's the same thing asking Dak Prescott to go out there every single week and be an MVP. It's not feasible. We know Dak's not that guy every single week that's going to be able to put up that consistent performance we saw in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you've got to do a better job of being willing to not just bargain shop bottom of the barrel free agents to replace the Chauncey Golstons and the Dorrance Armstrongs and all the players you lose. Jack Sanborn, okay, cool. But then you've got your Ha-Ha Clinton Dixes, you've got your Nolan Carrolls, you've got Cedric Thorntons, and all these other guys that don't play a damn down for you that suck when you go down the list of what they've done in free agency. So it's an overall team-building philosophy. Now they're just being cooked because they haven't drafted well, which is unfortunate. but they put themselves in that position because of their other elements of team building.
Yeah, so it's like, what's going to change? What's going to be different? They're not going to go out and spend money. I mean, when they Will got all leaves. The money. They all, yeah. Yeah, when Will McClay leaves, it has a chance to get significantly worse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. To me, he's the one guy that's able to walk in the room and has the respect of everybody in there. He's like the majority whip, you know, at the Senate. Like, he's the guy standing up there, getting everybody lined up and stuff. And they're like, yeah, Will, I got a problem with the scouts. And the scouts, yeah, I got a problem with the coaches. And the Joneses are like, what the hell are we doing in coaching? Why are they saying that? And yeah. Will's the one has to stand there and put all that together. That's a problem. If he just got to run his own program,
yes,
I think this team would be fine.
And that's really what they should have been doing for the last decade.
He could challenge the scouts and the coaches. He could challenge a coach like, well, that's – I remember one time Mike Zimmer. Zimmer was saying something. One day he's in there fighting for this guy, fighting. We put him up there. The next day Zimmer comes in and goes, I'm not so sure about that. I looked at him and said, Mike, damn it. I go, you can't do that. You can't damn do that. I go, the scouts are with you. They're fighting for you, and you're screwing them all up. And he's like, well, damn it, Brian. And I'm like, we were going at it. You can't sit there, especially with coach-driven programs. If you're a coach and you get a say and all of a sudden, let's go. And, oh, I'm not sure. The scouts got nothing.
And I don't want coaches faking it like they're sure. You know, mm-hmm. I want a real front office that works independently and knows the kind of players that are going to impact winning and losing. Now they got all this cap space and these extra draft picks. I think their plan to replace Micah is just hope that the 30th pick turns into an all-pro. Like, they're not actually going to go spend that money that they saved on Micah on players outside the building. So what can be different? I'm down to change the way your draft process works as some sort of a feasible idea for something that could be different. Because listening to Jerry and Steve, and everything's going fine. You know, we just got to execute better and start winning some games. And until that light bulb comes on, I think we're now headed for more of the same. And it's only going to get worse. Like, the next 2 to 3 years model as the worst, maybe since you were scouting with them 20 years ago.
Oh, we were bad. Yeah. We were bad. We did nothing. I was with Dave Campo the other day, apologized to him for about the 75th time. And he looked at me, he says, Brian, he goes, we were bad as coaches too. We just didn't have a chance. We did not have a chance. I'm saying, well, my apologies on my end.
Okay, we got Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. You want to tease something? What are we doing today?
I got questions for you guys. Tuesday, I usually ask you guys questions. I think I got some good questions for
you. That's at 3:40. We'll talk more Cowboys football with you. The Rangers player show, Alejandro Osuna. I might have time for some Cowboys news of the evening as well coming up next year on the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the Rangers Player Show here on The Fan. Pre-game coming up tonight, 6:30. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the Rangers Player Show presented by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. And here he is joining us now, hitting 319 in September, finishing up his first season in the bigs with a bang. One of our favorites, Alejandro Osuna, here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing wonderful. Thanks for joining us. What's been working for you up there? How you feeling up there at the dish?
I'm feeling very good so far. I enjoy it a lot, and I'm very happy with the team because they bring me a lot of confidence.
They bring you a lot of confidence. I love that. Now, what's the biggest thing that, you've learned this summer in order to get the kind of success you've had recently?
More about the results. Sometimes it's very hard when you don't have the result that you want. But just try to keep working hard and just try to wait the good moment, and don't give up. That's something really important to learn.
Are you pretty good at that, or do you get frustrated?
I mean, I really feel frustrated a little bit more when they sent me down the first time, because I was really mad by myself, because I was thinking a lot about I don't doing anything to help my team win games and everything. But when I talk with my parents, with my teammates and everything, any understanding, it is part of the process, you know. But on that moment, it was really hard.
What was this whole experience like with the Little Rascals and you and Michael Hellman and all your other young teammates, Cody Freeman getting after it to help this team really go on a run and have a chance at the postseason here late in the season?
Yeah. I mean, that was really fun. We love how the fans calling us, and that was really fun because we was playing together in AAA too, and playing here in a big league is a dream for us. For that, I think we enjoy it every day. We love baseball, and for that, we play with a lot of passion.
Alejandro, as you look ahead to the off season, do you have some things that you plan on kind of focusing on? What have you learned about yourself this season?
Just more about control my emotions and don't try to do much. That's something I'm learning here. And I'm just going home to prepare myself on my body. Just focus more on my body than baseball things.
What's that look like? You gonna get in the gym? You gonna change your diet? What all do you do to work on your body?
Yeah. I wanna change my diet and everything. I wanna improve my speed and everything. And I wanna lose a couple of weight. Try to come more speed next year.
What's the thing that's what's the food that you're like, dang it, I hate to say goodbye to this one, but I'm gonna have to tighten things up.
Every type of food. I love food. Everything got tortillas. That killed me.
Are you able to get any advice from your brother?
Yes, every day. Every day after games, I always talk to him. And something really important was control my emotions. He always watching me playing, and he always said me like, hey, you're trying to do much. You look really tight on your arms, your lower body, and everything, and he helped me a lot on my emotions.
Is it hard to relax? I mean, getting to the big league level and you want success for yourself so much.
Yes. To be honest, yes, because that's the dream when I was a kid, and more because the only thing I wanted to do is help the team to win games. I don't care if I was on offense or defensive, but it's hard when you don't got the result you want.
When you're as a player, though, talk about as a first year player the pressure when you're going through one of these runs and trying to get into the playoffs. Is it something that you ever thought? I mean, you've ever had to experience, or like, man, I love this kind of pressure. I love being able to be a part of this.
Yes, I love it. To be honest, I love it. Sometimes I don't feel pressure about the situations, about right. the games. Mm-hmm. I always feel pressure after games, right? But during the game, I don't think anything. I love the pressure. I love when the fans is clapping, when the fans are loud, when they give me a situation about defense or hitting. Mm-hmm. That's something I love. So I don't feel pressure on that part.
Well, we love watching you, man. You're an absolute firecracker out there. What's been the biggest surprise for you in your first summer, just about life in Major League Baseball?
To be honest, it's more right now. The result I'm still having right now so far, how I can control everything inside the baseball, like my routine, my body, how I was working during doing lifts and everything, because sometimes I was playing like after four or five games. And it's really hard, like playing one time for a week. And right now I got the opportunity to play every day. And I'm very happy because I'm helping the team sometimes. And that's the more impressive for me, like how I can control the things I can control, you know.
I love your team first mindset. I think that's the third time you've said something about that. Where's that come from?
from my dad, my brother, they always like put me the team first because I'm not considered like a selfish guy or something. I always play for the team.
Alejandro Osuna with us here on 105 Through the Fan. So you've gotten now to play in multiple different ballparks. Have you been able to cross off any bucket list ones that you've been wanting to play in your whole life?
To be honest, every stadium is, I love it. But which one I not played. I got the opportunity to play, but I like it. It was in Toronto Blue Jays. Okay. That field, I think, that one.
What are you going to be doing in the offseason? Are you going to play this winter?
Yeah, that's my goal. Like, try to play in a winter ball. I want to start playing in December. But after here, when I'm done, when the season done, I'm going to Japan to visit my brother for a couple of weeks, and after I come back to Mexico.
Are you very goal-oriented? Like, are you somebody that has a bunch of goals for the future as a Texas Ranger that you want to accomplish?
I said before, just try to control everything. I'm going to go to Mexico just to take more IVs, to do a couple swings, and work more on that, and work on all my speed too. That's the most important, going to Mexico just to work. You know, it's very easy to me, like, go over there and try to get, like, easy, but now I'm going to do my 100% to get better for next season.
Did you say you're going to Japan to watch your brother?
Yes.
Have you ever been over there?
No, that's my first time.
What are you looking forward to other than reconnecting with your brother?
Say it again, please.
What are you looking forward to experiencing in Japan in your first trip over there?
For me, it's another war, right? So yeah. I'm going to watch the game and I see a couple of games. I think the Japanese guys respect a lot of baseball. They play with a fundamentals, like they bunting a lot. They doing a lot of hit and runs. They're like a perfect doing baseball things. So I'm going to watch like how they play, how they control their results, and just try to talk with my brother about more Japan baseball.
Alejandro, what do the Rangers need to do next year to get back in the playoffs?
I mean, it's a tough question for me, right? That's not very good. that's something hard. But so obviously, we went, for me, the team is perfect, right? But always the injuries happens, and that's something we can control. Mm-hmm. But for me, the team is really good, and it's very fun. Like how you can see from inside on a clubhouse, we are a family. So we are all together. When we don't want the result, we want, like, everybody is like mad and sad. And you can see how the team is really, really important on us. Like, we always try to win. But for me, we are a perfect team.
Do you like Major League Baseball now implementing the challenge system for the balls and strikes?
Yes. I mean, I'm playing with ABS on a fall league last year, and it's very easy to us. Like, sometimes I understand, you know, the umpires are humans too, and they got mistakes too. But so if we had opportunity to challenge a couple pitches, so we can do it, and that's something I like, because sometimes on a count like 3-2 or something, we take a close pitch or something, and the umpires call strike or ball. So the hitter and the pitcher got opportunity to call down. So it's a good challenge for us.
Well, Alejandro, again, congrats on your success. We're having a blast watching you, and we look forward to catching up with you in surprise here coming up next March.
Yes, thank you, guys. Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Cheers.
Thank
you. Have a great winter and a great final week of this season.
And gracias to your translator.
Yeah, that was a fantastic salute to the translator.
Yep,
okay, while we were on there, the news comes down that John Mateer is going to miss time, is going to require surgery with the hand injury. He did finish that game 24-36 for 271, ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown, but after consulting with medical experts, it became clear surgery is the best option, says Coach Venables. Extremely disappointed he'll miss some game action, but is eager to correct the issue and move forward. He is with everything. We know he'll be aggressive in his rehab and work to return to field as soon as possible. And an early Heisman favorite without any other details. It's hard to say how much time he's going to miss, but probably at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, I saw three or more.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then they got Kent State next, so Michael Hawkins will slide in and start. But that means he's missing Texas.
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
That really sucks because not only is OU pretty awesome right now, but he's one of the funnest players in all of college football to watch.
Yeah, and the local product. And, I mean, that Texas OU game is looking like a top 10 matchup right now for both of them.
All righty. That was the Rangers player show here in the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by our friends at Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has protected those that protect us. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary? And salute once again to Alejandra Asuna for joining us. We'll come back with Krusty's Corner, buddy. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, I've got some questions for my guys about these Dallas Cowboys. We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan. Can't believe Flagtober is already right around the corner. Salute to Tolbert Garage Door. This year's sponsor will be out and about handing you your Texas flag edition of the G-Bag Nation flag. The grenade is back. This might be my favorite flag ever. Here's Brian and Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement.
Here's hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius, for playing that. And thank you to Reliant for being a part of this as well. Got some questions for my guys. On Tuesday, I always like to ask questions because we do the breakdowns on of the team, the opponent on Wednesday and Thursday.
Looking forward to it. Just going on a nice long walk this morning and conjure up some fire questions.
I don't have time to go for a walk.
No walk.
Too busy these days.
Yeah, I'm sure one of you is going to ask me to do a Love of the Star tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., 7:45 maybe.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Might make it 5:45.
We might just do it ourselves.
I'd be up.
Walter.
Might do it by yourself.
Ross will be down with that.
Heisman.
You're taking enough vitamins, though, to make up for the lack of walking. So kudos to you.
Is it embarrassing how many vitamins I take?
It reminded me of my grandpa. My grandpa, shout out to Pup Up. He's got like
how
an entire,
he's
deep into his 80s.
Okay, then.
And
I'm encouraged that maybe these vitamins are going
to get that's some audio we need to dig up and relive.
Bro, yeah, we do.
That's legendary
audio.
They
didn't know they were sending a voicemail.
Incredible.
And he was just yelling at my grandma. He's got an entire like duffel bag. He's got like a scouting bag. It's a vitamin bag.
Is it broken into days? It's like Monday through Sunday.
They're all every day. For every day.
Good
yeah.
for him.
He's hammering like 30 pills and vitamins a day.
Good deal there.
Brother, does your pee come out the same color as a highlighter? That's when you know you're taking the vitamins,
yeah.
Bro. You look down, you're like, okay, man.
I think it's the smell, Lucius.
Oh.
It smells kind of crazy too, huh?
A little asparagus-y.
It smells like a lot of these, kind of this like wheat.
Yeah.
Kind
and
of
barley.
Very, it smells yeah, very vitamin. Yeah. Like if you.
It
like
means weed. It's working.
It smells like weed.
That's weed. What are the best vitamins to take? What would you recommend, Lucius?
Shoot, I don't know, man. I take so many.
I think the, Lucius, do you take the milk thistle or anything?
Mm-hmm,
stuff?
I sure do.
I started taking that.
All right, let me tell you what.
Tequila, I drink, I have to.
Yeah, the thing that I'm learning as the older I'm getting is that circulation is important.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to lose your circulation. That's how heart attacks and stuff. I know eating pizza and stuff, deep dish pizza and things like that probably cause heart attack too.
Sure.
But they say like the most important things, I bet you my cardiologist is listening to us today.
Well, we were all going to go in on some compression socks for you for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I guess cat's out of
I saw
now.
You wore your, I saw you wore your,
I had my Proud Brian's
Brian
on.
Socks on the other day. I appreciate
matches
that.
Matches well with the Hawkas.
Throw that beetroot. Hocus. That beetroot is good.
Beetroot is really,
beetroot
really
is
good.
Real good for circulation. Beetroot.
And I learned this about if you go to the bathroom a lot, like you have to
number one
pee a lot,
That Milk Thistle will have you going too quite a bit.
Yeah, that cleans you out. Yeah.
Sure did.
That Milk Thistle, it gets rid of all the waste in your body. But I'm learning about dandelions. Dandelion, the flower.
Good stuff.
It helps
you. Is that
you
she loves me, she loves me not? Is that the same flower or different flower?
I think that's a daisy.
That's a daisy?
Yeah. Is that a daisy?
A dollop of daisy?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm learning about circulation. That's the most important thing. To make sure that the blood gets through you.
Yeah, they say our sedentary lifestyle is fine as long as we get up and move around every now and then.
Yeah, that's one of these watches they have. It's like
just the walk to the bathroom to crank out the Milk Thistle back to the couch.
The Milk Thistle, seriously, man, it unloads.
I mean, yeah, they say that's like the drinker supplement.
That's a wet one.
It is. It's like, my gosh, I mean, it's crazy.
Cleans out the liver, right?
Cleans out everything. Yeah, I've taken.
Sure does.
I've taken liver. I'm taking liver medicine. I'm taking kidney medicine.
There you go.
About that.
Well, Mardi Gras Brian.
Something's got to give here.
Got to take a preventative.
feels like a late in life Hail Mary to make up for a lot of bad decisions.
Is going to go, oh, he had a good run, and Dawson's going to say, yeah, he didn't take enough the damn liver medicine. That got him, you know.
Maybe switch to vodka cran. You know, that cranberry will take care of you, too.
I'm just telling you, though, those...
Make sure it's straight juice, too. Don't get any sugar stuff. Get that real juice out of cranberry. It's awful.
We've learned that in those transfusions, though, right? The grape juice that we were drinking those cranberries.
Does go down well.
Dawson.
Yeah.
Here we go. Are you worried about the Cowboys not being able to run the ball this weekend?
You know, the Packers had a great run defense last year.
They're fourth overall right now.
Yeah. So losing Kenny Clark, I mean, they're just a great physical defense. I'll say yes, because without CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, I think you might be looking at heavier boxes here while Lamb's out.
Yeah, I think to me that the problems they're going to probably run into are the blockers a little bit.
Yeah.
I think your back is really good. I think your blockers are going to be a problem in this one. How about you, Chief? Can you run the ball this weekend against this Green Bay Packer?
Not to the same level that you've been able to do it. And without Tyler Booker now too, that's going to be huge. So, no, I think it'll be okay, but it won't be anywhere close to the type of success rates that they've been cranking out here.
Woolley?
Yeah, you got to be nervous. You're down two starting offensive linemen. I thought Parag Hoffman played well, specifically in the running game.
Sure.
But what are they going to do? Like, is it TJ Bass that slides in at right guard? I don't think he's playing with the same amount of power as you've had there with Booker. I thought Booker was really good against Chicago. So I'm concerned anytime I see these damn green jerseys. I just have nightmares.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about him. I think with Williams, though, man, that's a tough dude.
Yeah, he is.
That's a tough dude right there. And by the way, do you run at Micah Parsons?
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
You better try and exploit all the reasons that you were kicking him out the door and saying he sucks against the run and this is what we're doing to try and get better against the run. You better exploit all of those weaknesses other teams tried to exploit against you when you played him.
Man, that's crazy. I'm watching that Muhammad just got another play up there for Detroit. Guy used to be here.
Yeah, they brought him in last year in training camp.
But I think so much is on the left side now. Yeah. I don't know exactly where Mike is going to play, but it's got to be Tyler Smith and Tyler Guyton getting loose in the run game that gives you a chance over there.
I know Vach and I did a breakdown of some stuff and with the Pack. They're moving him around.
Yeah.
They're moving him around like Dallas.
That's what I thought watching what I had.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Guyton, I mean, I don't know if you guys broke down those. Guyton had a couple of plays in the run game this week where I'm just like, holy crap, between him and Steele, it should just be run, 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 play action. Prove me wrong. Yeah. I don't know why they would try anything else but establishing the hell out of that run with these tackles because they're an absolute liability in pass pro. Sorry, go ahead. Back to your questions.
No problem. No problem at all. Woolley.
Yeah.
Do you still have flashbacks from that playoff loss to Green Bay, and are you worried that it might happen again?
Yeah, absolutely. I got flashbacks to 2016, Rodgers to Cook. I hate these people. And I thought 2023, we got rid of this when Rodgers left. It didn't happen. Jordan Love turned back the clock. Aaron Jones isn't on the team. I'm expecting Josh Jacobs to find a way to go have a field day out there. You name the player. They're probably going to have the best day of their career. Yeah. I mean, Emmanuel Wilson, get to know the name. Backup running back for Josh Jacobs. He might find his way into it. That helps no one. Fantasy touchdown. I'm terrified. I hate playing the Packers, Brian.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Yeah, I think about it plenty. It is the worst loss that I've ever experienced and one of the most embarrassing performances in football history when you consider you were the home team that was the youngest team in the sport, and you didn't give yourself a chance on either side of the ball. It was bad. And every time I see the Packers, and the fact that Mike is in that uniform now, insult to injury.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I think when Jerry said in the box, this is one of the worst losses we've ever had, it's because he knew they were up against it. They had to pay Dak again, and they were going to have to let a bunch of players go. I think they knew that the window effectively closed that afternoon. Sorry, I was a little distracted there by Ed and Denton asking what fixes ED. He's looking for a supplement to help his ED, by the way. Got any suggestions?
Brazilian nuts.
Brazilian nuts.
Oh, listen to our commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Men's T Clinic, they'll get you fixed up in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
They got a lot of different things they can do for you.
Salute you.
Thanks, Ed, for listening. Appreciate it.
Salute. Ed's the man.
Ed's the man.
Best of luck.
Dawson, you said you're worried about this one because you said that.
Is that what Ed stands for? It's really ED.
I think so.
ED. Oh, is it guy's name not Ed?
He said, I'm sick of it, man.
He's Ed and Ed.
I've had EDC so long, they call me Ed now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should pick these things up a little quicker than I do. Dawson.
Yeah.
How interested are you in seeing Wanya Thomas and Marquise Bell playing at safety this week?
Very interested. You know, I think if you want to do the two deep, I like what Donovan Wilson does. I think there's a role for him as a down safety or an extra linebacker. There's all sorts of things you could do well with Donovan Wilson. But the way Flus is using him, I think it's not doing him or the team any favors.
Wooly?
Yeah, I think you got to change some stuff out. And even if it's just to try and add some fuel to whatever these players, if they're not playing well enough. So they deserve to be benched right now. So give me Thomas, give me Bell. They deserve to be playing more. I thought Marquise Bell, they were going to have a plan for it coming into the season.
Sure.
It sounded like they liked him a lot and he was playing well. And I guess it doesn't matter at all if they were playing well in training camp because so were a lot of players and they've looked like poochies to start this season. But you need to make some household changes here. And maybe Shamar James should be active, the rookie linebacker. Maybe we should see if he's any good.
Well, yeah. Sanborn's not. I think everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table.
No, nobody should be comfortable right now at any position for the most part other than defensive tackle. And then, you know, of course you get Bland back. Maybe Reddy Stewart's done a good enough job to just stay in the nickel and have Bland on the boundary.
Yeah.
But by and large, everybody should be uncomfortable about their own playing time.
If Bland comes back, what are you doing? Is it Bland and Diggs?
I'm taking Diggs off the field. They won't do that, but I'm taking him off the field.
You think you think Elam's better?
I think right now Diggs looks injured.
Yeah,
he just doesn't look fully healthy to me, and does he want to be out there?
You should have seen the look Dawson gave me when you said
they're all awful. They're all awful. I mean, it's a bunch of bad options.
Yeah, but I mean, look, Dawson just looked at me, and shook his head.
You tell Elam gives up a play. Just shuffle
his money.
Shuffle.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, safety should be a complementary type of position, and if you're depending on one a lot, your entire defense is bad, or your safety is freaking awesome, and he's just flying into the screen. If you're depending upon him this much, your corners and your linebackers and your edges are just bad. So I don't think it matters. I don't think it's any one person's fault. It's just a collection of crap on that side of the ball.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
On the DTs.
All right. Thank you, boys. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We're going to have a college football discussion coming up at 4:20. Baseball is next with Jared Sandler. He'll help us preview Rangers Twins. Talk about a big looming offseason and what is left of this season next year on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.